The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby.
What up?
We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have Big Sean joining us on the show later today. Make sure you stay tuned for that. But we start with what happens tonight. The Eastern Conference Finals, game two between the Heat and the Celtics. Jalen, who was a player you were keying on the Celtics to help even the series?
I can't wait to talk to Big Sean about our Detroit Pistons. Tonight, Kemba Walker. He struggled the last couple of games with his efficiency, Jacoby. And what teams have realized is Jason Tatum is going to go one-on-one, and you can't stop it. Either he's going to make it or miss it. But those pick and rolls from Kemba, we got to zone him up. We got to trap him. We got to get the ball out of his hands. We can't let this guy get going. And since teams have made a concerted effort the last couple of games to do that, he's been bottled up. If they're going to make this a long series, he need to get going tonight.
That's a good point. And Jalen, you know that I've adopted the Miami Heat as my team. I'm a die easy fan, and I'm riding with the Heat for the next 2 months. I love this Miami Heat team. I love the mafia. I love the Heat culture. And one player that's been overlooked on this Miami Heat team that is contributing, that is consistent, Goran Dragic. Dragic in game one, 29 points, 11 for 16 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3 points. And that was not a fluke. He's averaging 22 points a game in these playoffs, and he's shooting just under 40% from three. I just love what they have done with this man. He has been there through many different iterations of the Miami Heat, and he is truly finding his own right now this late in his career. It also got me thinking about Goran Dragic and the Heat culture and the Heat mafia and what Pat Riley does when he brings people down to Florida. Think about these players. 60% of their starting lineup is Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, and Goran Dragic. We all know Jimmy Butler's story. Started with the Bulls, had problems with his teammates, leaves Minnesota, and then problems with his coach and maybe his teammates in Philadelphia, goes down to Miami, and he flourishes. Jay Crowder has played on 17 teams in the last 7 seasons. I don't know how that even works in the collective CBA, but he has done it, and he comes down to Miami and flourishes, and the same happens for Goran Dragic. I love what's happening with this Heat team so much, but Jalen, Dragic. Dragic, I say his name wrong all the time. Jalen, but you have another player in the Celtics that you are keying on to contribute more than they did in game one. And who is that?
I like how those that's been with us for 10 years know when you say the mafia, as you represent the Miami Heat, that means their culture that we've talked about on this show for years. And the godfather on the sideline in uniform, Udonis Haslem, is going to get his number retired one day. But for the Celtics tonight, how about Jaylen Brown? They're undefeated, Jacoby, when he scores over 25 points. And while Tatum ascended and improved, so did JB. They're going to need his offense.
Absolutely. JB, like you said, when they score 25 points, they are undefeated. And sometimes he shows flashes of that Tatum-like leap to stardom. And he's going to be needed in game two if they're going to even this series against the Miami Heat. We also have some other news in the NBA. Yesterday, the All-NBA teams were announced, and most significant in that was a gentleman by the name of LeBron James, who was named to first team. This is his 16th time with an All-NBA nod. That breaks a tie between him, wait for these names, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Tim Duncan. He is now the most recognized All-NBA player of all time, which is a huge milestone, but we all know he cares about his legacy. What's another milestone do you think that he's looking to add to his trophy case?
He can do that really soon in the bubble. That's a fourth championship. That's a fourth finals MVP. That's another championship, but with the Los Angeles Lakers. A story franchise. If he's able to do that, Jacoby, the people who didn't see Michael Jordan play are they going to start screaming a lot louder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say LeBron James is the greatest that we've seen in the last almost 20 years, and he's the GOAT. And that's going to start to fuel those arguments again.
Absolutely. We all remember when LeBron James was speaking, I believe it was at a basketball camp, and he said he's chasing the ghosts in Chicago. He has his target on that GOAT title and a fourth championship, doing it for three different teams and doing it for his hometown team and the Los Angeles Lakers might just bring him there. Jalen, buckle up for a second. I have figured something out. I've been reading the tea leaves and I have come to a conclusion. I have a conspiracy theory that I would like to present to you, Jalen. I think that Elton Brand said that he is not interested in trading Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. The problem is this, to steal a phrase from you, his actions are so loud, I can't hear his words. Here is why I think Elton Brand is open to trading Joel Embiid. Wait till I connect these dots. Could be happening right now, could happen the next couple days, but they're going to interview Mike D'Antoni for the head coaching position in Philadelphia. Interesting. And Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer said the job was basically his to lose. Interesting. Now let me connect some dots. General manager is Elton Brand. He was hired by the Colangelo family. The other two decision makers in the Philadelphia organization were hired by the Colangelo family. There are ties between Colangelo and D'Antoni dating all the way back to when you were in the NBA and he was with Phoenix. Now, what does that have to do with Joel Embiid? Mr. 7 seconds or less, Mr. Small Ball, Mr. Threes Only, Mike D'Antoni is not interested in coaching Joel Embiid, who is one of the slowest players in the NBA and who demands what kind of touches? Post touches. Do you think Mike D'Antoni is trying to post up people in 2021 in the NBA? And I say all that to say this, if the Philadelphia 76ers are truly interested in Mike D'Antoni, which has been reported, then they must be willing to trade Joel Embiid no matter what they say, because I don't think that D'Antoni and Embiid can exist in the same franchise. What do you think about the conclusion that I've drawn?
Wow, that was a novel, a beginning, middle, and an end. You actually did some work. I'm really impressed.
I actually prepared for the show today.
Wow, you read and took notes and you digested information and you pieced it together. Did you call Bob Lee? I've never seen you work so hard. Did you get the clip notes from somebody?
What do you think? Do you think this is a possibility?
I think trading Joel Embiid is a possibility regardless of who they have as the head coach, because he's probably, along with Ben Simmons, going to get you the most value in return. You're not going to get high value on Tobias Harris and or Al Horford. Your two best players are the people that are going to get you something in return if you want to go into another direction. And Joel Embiid could be that anchor. And so I understand your theory, but I would be interested to see, paying those four guys over $100 million, how much they're willing to pay their next head coach. Because the Nets will have KD and Kyrie next year. The Bucks are still going to win 60-plus games as long as Giannis in the uniform. Miami, the Celtics, who's going to be at Indiana's coach? So are they going to make that Mike D'Antoni splash and pay that big check, not knowing if he's really going to be the guy to get them over the top, is what I want to see.
Well, we will see. Just remember where the dominoes fall. If they hire Mike D'Antoni, I'm predicting they will then trade Joel Embiid. Moving away from basketball tonight, week two begins in the NFL between two teams in Ohio that are headed in the wrong direction. We have the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield led, going up against Joe Burrow, who looked pretty good in week one. Jalen, when you look at this Cleveland Browns team, and look at the expectations and their performance of the past couple seasons, what do you think?
Baker Mayfield's all right, but he's not real. I never thought I'd live in a world where he have more commercials than Odell Beckham Jr. As a matter of fact, both of them together have more commercials than any teammates in the entire NFL. Yet, Odell Beckham has only caught for over 100 yards twice since he's been playing for the Browns, which now lends to them saying, oh, is there rumors that they may trade him? Baker Mayfield is killing his value. Yeah, Odell Beckham dropped some balls, but he's still a mercurial talent. If you get him to another destination like some of the rumors, put him in San Francisco. Go right ahead.
Yes. Yes.
Put him in Green Bay. Cam and the Patriots.
Put him in Green Bay.
Put him in New England. Go ahead.
Free Odell Beckham from the prison that is the Cleveland Browns franchise. Free OBJ. I'm tired. Jalen, who's joining us right after the break?
Big Sean, boy.
Detroit's finest right after the break. Make sure you stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have the honor, we have the pleasure to be joined by one of the best to ever do it, Detroit's own Big Sean joins us.
Let's go! What's up? What's up, my G's? My bros, man.
Family.
Jalen, my Detroit brother. You know Jacoby.
I love you, brother.
Bro. How y'all feeling?
Congratulations. I saw you grow from finally famous to Don Life. And we woke up this morning, and you have the number one album in the country. How does it feel?
Wow. Bro, you know, it's a... I felt like for this album, I just really wanted to impact people. Give them something that I felt... You know, give them the album that they may not have known they needed, but, you know, to inspire, to relate to. So I feel like it was number one, you know, off of impact for the way people were... You know, giving me a reaction, but the fact that it actually went number one too, that's just like a cherry on top, you feel me? But it's good to be recognized for sure, for sure.
You have so many bars on this album, and also not just that, you have so many great features and so many great songs, but one of the things I love about this album so much are the way that you woven in narratives from some notable artists about your home city of Detroit. And I want to ask you about one of those. Of course, I'm going to ask about Stevie. You have Stevie Wonder on the album telling a story about Detroit. How did that come together and what was it like?
Bro, so Stevie called me one morning randomly. This is back in like April. And this is when COVID was really heavy in Detroit at the time. You know, it was like the number third city in the whole country. And Detroit is a city that we're matching New York and LA. And it's 15 times smaller than both of those places, you know, so... He was like, how can we... And by the way, Stevie Wonder has never called me before, so this was like the first time he called me ever. And he asked how we could help the city. So we did some stuff behind the scenes with our foundations, you know, to contribute to that. But then on top of that, he was like, well, what are you working on? So I was like, man, I'm working on this album, you know, called Detroit, Detroit 2. And he was like, oh, I got to check it out. Like, let's get in the studio. It didn't happen for a long time. And then towards the very end of my album, I reconnected with Stevie and I went to the studio with him and I asked him if he could tell a story. And he was like, yeah, for sure. I'll tell a story about Detroit, but I want to hear the album first, you know? So I was like, cool. I played him the album and bro, it was one of the most proudest moments of my life because he was like, man, this is so good. You know, he was clapping after songs. He heard Guard Your Heart with me, Anderson .Paak and Wale. And he was just so like happy. And then he was like, man, how can we make some music for the album? Like, how can I be a part of it like that? You know, on top of the story. But I realized that since the album, I was thinking about pushing the album back, but it was due like right then. So I was like, man, if me and Stevie do make music, I want to not be rushed. I want to take my time. So hopefully that does happen. But, you know, he did the story and it was a dream come true, bro. I grew up in a Stevie Wonder household. Like my mom plays Stevie Wonder like all the time.
What an amazing
greatest singer-songwriter.
You deserve that. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Greatest writer, legend of all time. Decades on what he got? 5-6 decades?
I mean, at least, bro. I mean, it's not even a question. You know what I'm saying? So it was incredible. And then Dave Chappelle too and Erykah Badu, man. It was just I was extremely blessed. And I wanted it to feel like I was bringing a festival to Detroit. You know, that's why I had so many features. My last album before only had like two or three features. But I wanted this to feel like people showing respect and paying homage to the city that aren't from the city too. You know, because that just added a different layer to it.
You did that, family. And you see me with my modern day Coogi, my frames, ooh, bossing up before every show. Detroit helmet, Michigan helmet. It don't stop.
Of course.
And one of the things. It don't stop. And one of the things I appreciated about your album is coming from Detroit, we've endured a lot of similar struggles and trials and tribulations. And you address your mental health and overcoming that. How important was that for you to put it on wax and for Black men in particular to open up about that?
Well, the thing is, I'm still overcoming it. You know, I feel like we work on ourselves till we leave, you know. And I had to. I came to a point in my life where, you know, I felt broken inside. And I didn't know what was wrong, you know. And I, especially me doing what I wanted to do my whole life, you know, which was my dream, was to do music and to do something I love. So I was very confused that at this point in my life, you know, where I wasn't happy, and I realized that it was deeper than just me doing what I wanted to do. It was a lot to do with my emotions and me never dealing with my emotions and me never putting myself first. I always did it for everybody around me, my mom, my family, my brothers, my friends, putting them on, but I never took care of myself first, and it started to overflow, you know? So I had to cut off everything I was doing, all the obligations, shows, you know, I lost a lot of money, lost a lot of opportunities, I'm sure, but I had to work on myself, dog, and I had to strengthen my spiritual connection, you know, through meditation, through therapy, through listening to myself, working on myself physically too, like working out, and I had to step away from the music because I was feeling uninspired, and I didn't know why. But I realized now that once I expanded my bandwidth and once I did work on myself, it was a whole new avenue of things that I had to talk about. And also when I was meditating, I would go back to when I was 15 and 19 and 21 and when I was sleeping in the studio and just go back to that passion and that hunger and it relit that flame and that hunger I once had. And it felt like I returned back to the essence of myself, but as a new and improved person. So that's why on there, I'm talking about when I had heart disease when I was 19. I talk about losing a baby. I talk about all these things that, you know, I sacrificed my privacy and because I realized that my real purpose was to inspire. And that's what I had to do. I feel like to do that.
Well, that's amazing. And all of that sort of self-help certainly shows up in the bars that you laid down in this album. But since you're in Detroit and you
got Detroit. Bars.
There's something I need to ask you about, and that is the status of Detroit sports right now, because it is not good. I mean, when you take a look at all of the different teams in Detroit, look at this. We got the Lions. They are trash. The Tigers are trash.
Whoa,
the Red Wings are trash.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
The Pistons are trash. Like, the city of Detroit deserves better from their sports teams, man. The city of Detroit deserves better.
Now, don't come at us like, okay, maybe currently, but we've brought championships. We bought Stanley Cups to the crib. You know what I'm saying?
Preach.
We've had the best.
Preach.
We've had the best teams a lot of times. Okay, go blue. We know what's going
Preach.
On. We know what's going on. But I am going to say that I feel like the Lions do need to maybe figure out, because there is a Lions curse I feel like going on. We need to figure out what's going on the administrative
Agreed.
Side. You know, and change some things there. But I feel like the Lions have a great potential, though, okay? I know we won it. I know we 0-1. It is what it is, though, you know.
How about this, though? While you trying to clown Detroit professional sports, I want to go back to the album real quick. Rest in peace to the late, great Nipsey Hussle. He was putting on for the city, and I never heard that interview until your album. Take me behind the curtain to that conversation.
Man, he just was, you know, Nipsey just was, he loved the city of Detroit. And first of all, me and him, You know, I've known NC since 08, and then we were on a XXL freshman cover together in 2010, and that was a big moment for us. That was our first magazine cover. And, you know, we've been tight ever since, so it's like, we had loved sending, we were sending music back and forth, and, you know, always talked about, like, man, we need to get back up with each other. Like, we would always run into each other, and he loved that relationship I had with my mom. He was like, man, I love how you are with your family, because he was family-oriented, too, and we shared a lot of the same beliefs when it came to, like, holistic medicine and, like, all these different things. So, you know, at the time, when I first started working and had to be for Deep Reverend, I was going through that period that I was talking about where I just wasn't inspired. I was still, like, trying to figure it out. I remember I laid a scratch to it and was like, man, I gotta do this because that's my brother. And Hit Boy was the one who linked it all together. You know, he was the reason I was on Nas' album too, because he just was like worked everybody's stuff. You know, he's a great person, a great producer. So anyway, I go to Detroit and I'm doing some stuff with Ally Financial for my charity. I get the call. I took my mom to see Hamilton too. I get the call that Nipsey had got shot, and it was heartbreaking. But I thought he was gonna survive. Because me and him also have the same management, so we were getting calls like as soon as things were, information was getting released, and then I found out he got shot in the head. I immediately flew back to LA, and it was a dark, dark time for everybody who knew Nipsey, and it's obviously especially his family. So later on, like a little bit later on, I somehow, when I approached the song, I was able to finish it, and it flowed so naturally, like it was God, like it was supposed to happen. And I remember Dom Kennedy being in there, who, you know, he's super tight with Nip, and he was like, yo, bro, you got, you know, I felt, I didn't know how to go about it. And they were like, no, bro, you got to pay homage. You got to pay that respect to Nip, dog. You got to do this. You got to put it out. He would have wanted this, you know, and his family was supportive, his brother, all money and crew. And so, you know, it just, we did it with love and had to pay respect. You feel me?
It's amazing. Detroit 2 available right now. Big Sean, congratulations on the album. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Want to thank Big Sean. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m.